Welcome to another edition of the Urantia Radio Podcast. We talk about the fifth epical revelation. Pretty great stuff. I'm Jim Watkins, your host, and this week we're going to talk about guardian angels. I know a lot of people, even people who aren't particularly religious, are always fanciful of the idea of having guardian angels. And what better way to learn about guardian angels than with the Urantia book? In paper 113, which is the paper we'll go over today, we'll talk about what they do, how they operate, how they function, and who they serve, and for what reason. And it's an incredible read from paper 113, so we'll get to that. There are a couple of big events that are coming up this Saturday, April 6th. There's going to be a great presentation that talks about the importance of the revelation and how it serves mankind. Urantia Association president, who will be giving the discussion. And if you go on the Urantia Association website, you should be able to find some information on that, the value of revelation. Google Urantia Association. And then there's another event that's coming up the UBIS. April 22nd, they begin the next semester at the Urantia Book Internet School. And that's always an opportunity for you as a new reader or a continuing reader to learn from other readers and share your experience with other readers as well. And I hope that you will, be able to sign up for that. It's absolutely free and doesn't cost anything. It's about a 6-week course and it takes about maybe an hour or two. Mostly it's reading and then writing and discussing what you read. And they focus in on maybe 6 or 7 different topics for the whole course, but you can take one course for the entire 6 weeks. And it's a lot of fun. And all you have to do is go to the urantia.org website. And there'll be information on UBIS. So in just a second, we'll delve into paper 113, and we'll have a wonderful time exploring the world of guardian angels. If you are familiar with the Urantia book, you're most likely already familiar with the varying levels of angelic helpers that we have. And essentially, they are the offspring of the divine spirit. So think of the corollary of two kinds of entities, personality beings. You've got those who are the offspring or the descendant of the Father. And then you have a parallel group that are the offspring of the infinite spirit. And it is there that we learn from the Urantia book about the different levels and the different experiences and the abilities. Not all angels are the same. Some have innate abilities. We know also that they always work in pairs and that very rarely do we have an opportunity in our mortal life have an opportunity to meet them. But the Urantia book writers wanted us to become more familiar with angels, and so they dedicated chapters upon chapters to their work and what they're related to, and not all seraphim work with humans. Some have other destinies. And so let's pick up from paper 113, where it talks about what guardian angels are and what guardian angels do for us. And we pick up from section 4, which is entitled The Seraphic Domains of Action. The guardian seraphim are not mind, though they do spring from the same source that also gives origin to mortal mind, the creative spirit. Seraphim are mind stimulators. They continually seek to promote circle-making decisions in human mind. They do this not as does the adjuster or the spirit fragment operating from within and through the soul, but rather from the outside inward, working through the social, ethical, and moral environment of human beings. Seraphim are not the divine adjuster lure of the Universal Father, but they do function as the personal agency of the ministry of the infinite spirit. Mortal man, subject to his spirit adjuster leading, is also amenable to seraphic guidance. So not only are you influenced by the spirit of the Father within, but also from the seraphim or the guardian seraphim on the external outside. The adjuster is the essence of man's eternal nature. The seraphim is the teacher of man's evolving nature. In this, the mortal mind, and the next, the Maranchus soul. On the mansion worlds, you will be conscious and aware of seraphic instructors. But in the first life, men and women are usually unaware of them. Seraphim function as teachers of men by guiding the footsteps of the human personality into paths of new and progressive experiences. To accept the guidance of a seraphim rarely means attaining a life of ease. In following this leading, you are sure to encounter, and if you have the courage, to traverse the rugged hills of moral choosing and spiritual progress. So here it delineates that a challenging life is a life that teaches you your greatest lessons. A life of ease does not. The impulse of worship largely originates in the spirit promptings of the higher mind adjutants, reinforced by the leading of the adjuster. Many times you've been taking a walk and you notice a particularly beautiful sunset, and it maybe gives you the desire to give thanks. That may be the seraphim nearby who is calling your attention in some way. But the urge to pray, so often experienced by God-conscious mortals, very often arises as a result of seraphic influence. The guardian seraphim is constantly manipulating the mortal environment for the purpose of augmenting the cosmic insight of the human ascender, to the end that such a survival candidate may acquire enhanced realization of the presence of the indwelling adjuster spirit, and thus be enabled to yield increased cooperation with the spirit mission of the divine presence. While there is apparently no communication between the indwelling fragment, the adjuster, and the encompassing seraphim, they always seem to work in perfect harmony and exquisite accord. The guardians are most active at those times when the adjusters are least active, but their ministry is in some manner strangely correlated. Such superb cooperation could hardly be accidental or incidental. The ministering personality of the guardian seraphim, the God presence of the indwelling adjuster, the encircuited action of the Holy Spirit, and the Son consciousness of the Spirit of Truth are all divinely correlated into a meaningful unity of spiritual ministry in and to a mortal personality. Though hailing from different sources at different levels, these celestial influences are all integrated in the enveloping and evolving presence of the Supreme Being. In paper 113, section 5, we read about the seraphic ministry to mortals. Angels do not invade the sanctity of the human mind. They do not manipulate the will of mortals. Neither do they directly contact with the indwelling adjusters. The guardian of destiny influences you in every possible manner consistent with the dignity of your personality. Under no circumstances do these angels interfere with the free action of the human will. Neither angels nor any other order of universe personality have power to or authority to curtail or abridge the prerogatives of human choosing. Angels are so near you and care so feelingly for you that they figuratively, quote, weep because of your willful intolerance and stubbornness, end quote. Seraphim do not shed physical tears. They do not have physical bodies. Neither do they possess wings. But they do have spiritual emotions, and they do experience feelings and sentiments of a spiritual nature which are in certain ways comparable to human emotions. The seraphim act in your behalf quite independent of your direct appeals. They are executing the mandates of their superiors, and thus they function regardless of your passing whims or changing moods. This does not imply that you may not make their task either easier or more difficult, but rather that angels are not directly concerned with your appeals or with your prayers. In the life of the flesh, the intelligence of angels is not directly available to mortal men. They are not overlords or directors. They are simply guardians. The seraphim guard you. They do not seek directly to influence you. You must chart your own course. But these angels then act to make the best possible use of the course you have chosen. They do not ordinarily or arbitrarily intervene in the routine affairs of human life, but when they receive instructions from their superiors to perform some unusual exploit, you may rest assured that these guardians will find some means of carrying out these mandates. They do not, therefore, intrude into the picture of human drama, except in emergencies and then usually on the direct orders of their superiors. They are beings who are going to follow you for many an age, and they are thus receiving an introduction to their future work and personality association. That's interesting, because they'll learn to work with us in this life, and then these same seraphim will be with us in the next life and the next, working with us, becoming our best friends, really. I mean, they really are our best friends, and we're not even conscious of them in this life. But rest assured, in the next life, you'll have the opportunity not only to thank them, but to help them. Final paragraph from this section, or this paper. Seraphim are able to function as material ministers to human beings under certain circumstances, but their actions in this capacity is very rare. They are able, with the assistance of the midway creatures and the physical controllers, to function in a wide range of activities in behalf of human beings, even to make actual contact with mankind. But such occurrences are very unusual. In most instances, the circumstances of the material realm proceed unaltered by seraphic action, although occasions have arisen involving jeopardy to vital links in the chain of human evolution, in which seraphic guardians have acted, and properly, on their own initiative. Section 6, Guardian Angels After Death. Having told you something of the ministry of the seraphim during natural life, I will endeavor to inform you about the conduct of the guardians of destiny at the time of the mortal dissolution of their human associates. Upon your death, your records, identity specifications, and the Morancha entity of the human soul, conjointly evolved by the ministry of mortal mind and the divine spirit fragment, the adjuster, are faithfully conserved by the destiny guardians together with all other values related to your future existence. Everything that constitutes you, the real you, except the identity of continuing existence represented by the departing spirit fragment and the actuality of personality. The instant the pilot light in the human mind disappears, the spirit luminosity, which seraphim associate with the presence of the spirit fragment adjuster, the attending angel reports in person to the commanding angels successively of the group, company, battalion, unit, legion, and host, and after being duly registered for the final adventure of time and space, such an angel receives certification by the planetary chief of Seraphim for reporting to the evening star or other lieutenant of Gabriel. They have to work through a chain of command. It's very much like the military, the way they have angels set up. If you notice, these are words that you might find associated like military service, because you have group, company, battalion, unit, legion, and host. And these all represent varying degrees of angelic levels, really. And with these varying levels comes responsibility and authority. I go into great detail on this in my first book. And finally, it says, and upon being granted permission from the commander of this highest organizational unit, such a guardian of destiny proceeds to the first mansion worlds, and there awaits the consciousizing of her former ward in the flesh. That would be you and me. So in paper 14, which is the subsequent paper to the one we've just been reading, it reads in the very beginning of as to what we're talking about here in terms of sheer numbers. The Most Highs rule in the kingdoms of men through many celestial forces and agencies, but chiefly through the ministry of seraphim. At noon today, the roll call of planetary angels, guardians, and others on our world, Urantia, was 501,234,619 pairs of seraphim. This writer of this particular paper writes, there were assigned to my command 200 seraphic hosts, 597,196,800 pairs of seraphim, or 1.194 billion 393,600 individual angels. So that's about almost one-seventh of the human population. They go on to say, the registry, however, shows 1.002 billion individuals registered, but 191 million angels were absent from this world on different forms of duty, including transport, messenger, and death duty. And then it paraphrases, on Urantia, there are about the same number of cherubim as seraphim, and they are similarly organized. So they're saying we have not only over a billion seraphim, but we also have a billion cherubim. Seraphim and their associated cherubim have much to do with the details of the superhuman government of a planet, especially of worlds which have been isolated by rebellion. The angels, ably assisted by the midwayers, function on Urantia as an actual supermaterial ministry who execute the mandates of the resident governor general and all the associates and subordinates. Most definitely, the Most Highs rule in the kingdoms of men. And there is a good example of the depth that the Urantia book provides. We learn all about the angels in our own religious upbringing, but the Urantia book takes it a step further and goes into much more specificity as to what these angels do and why, and also where they come from, and how they are assembled and how they are divided for labor. And that concludes this particular chapter. We may continue on and get into some of the more specifics. I'd like to hear from you if you've got a topic or a subject, if you want to know about the Urantia book. We really love hearing from you. I got a suggestion a few weeks ago about the resurrection, and I wanted to talk about that, but that led me to what I felt was the more timely issue of Paper 113 of the Guardian Angels. So I hope you enjoyed it, and I look forward to our next getting together. And of course, always reach me at UrantiaBookRadio@gmail.com.